I do apologize in advance for my voice. If it gives out, you'll have a very short homily tonight. This comes from screaming and hollering with 270 children on retreat, with teens on retreat, and the change of altitude and all that other wonderful stuff. But today we do celebrate the feast of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Corpus Christi. And it is a realization of what we do as a Catholic Church, as a Christian community, is to be one with Jesus in this Eucharistic banquet. The gospel that we heard today was from St. John's 6th chapter. And if you know St. John's gospel, unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, at the Last Supper, St. John's gospel doesn't go through the Eucharistic formula. Take this, all of you, and eat of it. Take this, all of you, and drink of it. But rather, he has the washing of the feet. So for many scholars and for us as a church, we look at the 6th chapter part of what we heard today as Jesus' great Eucharistic discourse, him explaining to us what the Eucharist is in this 6th chapter of St. John's. And if you listen very closely, he tells us exactly, this is my body, this is my blood, you must eat this. And some people were going like, hold it. Did I just hear you right? Other people were saying, oh, that's crazy talk. He must be in the hyperbolic mode of exaggeration at this point. So Jesus continued to say to them, no, listen to me. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life within you. And the word that Jesus uses for eat is almost like to masticate flesh, right? To grind flesh in your teeth. Not simply to eat comfortably, but to chew on the word of God made flesh. To enter into that eating of the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing that, as Jesus said, St. Paul echoes, we will be made one. We will be made united with God. Or as St. Augustine of Hippo so famously wrote or said, we become what we receive. We become Christ-like in the reception of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we know that even though Jesus explained this very clearly, the best he could in human terms, and he was telling it to people who had seen him feed 5,000, who had seen him heal hundreds, who had seen him perform miracle after miracle after miracle of casting out demons, still said, we can't deal with this. So the Gospel of John reminds us that they went away. And then Jesus turned to his disciples and turns to us and says, well, are you going away too? And we should be able to echo St. Peter's words. No, Lord, we have come to know and believe that you are the Son of God. Where else shall we go? What else shall we do? This is where we belong. And then Jesus commands them to go and continue doing this. As he will say to Peter at the end of the Gospel of John, feed my sheep. Go out and celebrate this Eucharistic feast with one another. And this feast, this Eucharistic feast, this coming together has been part of our church tradition from the very beginning. St. Paul writes about it a lot. That is what his letter to the Corinthians, that part of his letter to Corinthians is talking about. It's in the Acts of the Apostles. And it's also in the writings of the early church fathers. St. Justin Martyr, a disciple of St. John the Evangelist, the one who we heard today. And when he was asked by a Roman authority to defend the teaching of the church, because they were talking about eating the flesh of the Son of Man, and for people who were uneducated or Christianity wasn't that popular back then, would sit there and they would say, Christian, cannibal, they're eating flesh, they're drinking blood. And of course, St. Justin Martyr, in his writings to the Roman authorities, laid out the theology of the Eucharist from the very beginning of the church, about the year 90 to 110. about the same time the Gospels were being written. And so these are the words of St. Justin Martyr. The food we call the Eucharist, of which no one is allowed to partake except one who believes that the things we teach are true and has received the washing for forgiveness of sins and for rebirth, and who lives as Christ handed down to us. For we do not receive these things as common bread or common drink, but as Jesus Christ, our Savior, being incarnate by God's word, took flesh and blood for our salvation. So also we have been taught that the food consecrated by the word of prayer, which comes from him, from which our flesh and blood are nourished by transformation, is the flesh and blood of that incarnate Jesus Christ. Those words of St. Justin Martyr still carry much joy for us today, much blessing for us as a church today. But we still fight that same fight that Jesus fought, the early disciples fought, Justin Martyr, and the church has fought throughout the time. Because what do people say about it? The Eucharist? It looks like bread, it tastes like bread, it looks like wine, it tastes like wine. You guys are crazy. Who can believe such things? And yet we are called to believe. We are called to have faith. We are called to understand this transubstantiation, that fancy Catholic word of what happens on the altar during the Eucharistic prayer to the bread and wine, that the bread becomes truly the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the wine truly becomes the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that transubstantiation is actually not really that hard to understand, but it's hard to believe. It's a philosophical thought. It means that the outward form remains the same, but the substance of what it is becomes different. The outward form remains the same, so it looks like bread, it looks like wine, but inwardly, the substance, the very what it is, becomes different. And so, with this happy blessing of Father's Day today, I was looking for easy ways to explain the Eucharist. And I came across a little video by Busted Halo. It's a website that reaches out to young adults. And one of the Paulist fathers, who I should have looked up his name before I came here, but I forgot, explained it like this, and it works wonderfully on Father's Day. My brother, who I love very dearly, Morris, is a wonderful father. When I knew him as a young man and as a man in his 20s, he had a certain form. He looked like my brother Morris. And one day he fell in love with his future wife, Julie, proposed to Julie, and became her husband. And then one day, a couple years after they were married, she sat him down on the couch, looked in his eyes, and said, "My beloved, you are a father. We are going to have a baby." And at that moment, those words of prayer that my sister-in-law, Julie, spoke to my brother Morris, he substantially changed in who he was. He was no longer just a man, but he was now a father, something different, substantially different, because it took a spiritual conversion in some ways to begin to be father-like to his soon-to-be-born daughter, but his daughter in vitro, that would soon become my niece, Natalie. Now, he still looked the same. He may have gained a few pounds in sympathy, right? But he still looked like the man that I knew. And yet, talking to him, working with him, playing with him, there was something substantially different. He was a father. You couldn't tell it from the outside. If someone who didn't know him saw him walking down the street and you said, is that a father? He'd go like, I have no idea, but it looks like a man. But when you encountered him and got to know him, you could not mistake any more that he was a father. How he lived his life, how he loved his wife and daughter, and daughters, and daughters, all right? How that occurred. In the same way, we are called to encounter Jesus in the Eucharist. Because if we don't want to encounter him, then yes, it looks like bread, it tastes like wine. And I can't convince you any other way. But if you truly wish to encounter our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, through hearing the Word of God, through offering ourselves in sacrificial service and prayer, then we truly become transformed. We truly become transubstantiated because we become Christ-like in the world. Because the sacramental life of the church isn't a magic life. It's a miraculous life. It's a life that changes the very being of who we are, not on the outside, but on the inside. In our very soul, our very veins that breathe, that pump the blood, our very heart that beats becomes Christ-like in receiving the Eucharist. And yes, we can walk down the street, St. Justin Martyr says in another place, and he can't tell us apart from anybody else unless you watch what we do. Hear what we say. Come and get to know us. And then you will see that we are truly different, transformed, living, yes, in this world, but with our eyes towards God always. And that is what we celebrate tonight. Because as we come forward in Eucharistic procession, we're not coming forward simply to get a little piece of bread and a tiny sip of wine. Because that's what you're coming for. You might as well go home and have a real sandwich and a nice glass of wine. If we come forward to do that, then we come forward with our eyes focused on God, encountering him, loving him, being made new by him. And one of the holiest women I know, a sister who gave us a conference one time in the seminary, she sat there and said, every time she comes forward, she repeats the words of the gospel. I believe, help my unbelief. Strengthen me as I receive you. Fill me as I receive you. Make me new as I receive you. And so that we may renew the face of the earth.